Buddhism Behind Bars. A film screening in Vancouver explores the controversy created when a Buddhist meditation retreat is brought into a maximum security prison.
Life without parole doesn't mean that you're to be punished or worked or any of that. It means you're to be warehoused till you die.
From 6 months all the way up to death row, we have them all here.
Donaldson's a pretty dangerous place. Somebody being stabbed or killed is a common occurrence.
The violence here, this is a breeding ground.
There we were in Alabama, very Christian part of the country, and we were teaching the teachings of the Buddha.
It's a very regimented day, stricter than your normal prison schedule.
What is that? I don't want to go through that.
I thought, well, we're, you know, going to waste some time here.
I've been through every course imaginable. A meditation course? Come on.
No one is telling them what to look at or how to change. They're gaining their insights within themselves.
I knew that I had to let things go. I just let the tears roll. It felt good to cry. You know, it had been quite some time.
It hit places in me that I didn't even know was there anymore. And after 16 years of being locked up in here, I wasn't sure there were any places like that.
You're in the Bible Belt. Now, if you came in and tried to teach against Christianity, it would become a real problem here.
They should have meditated before they done whatever they did to get in there.
People became threatened. These guys are turning inmates into Buddhists, so therefore you need to shut this thing down.
I take responsibility for my action. I did do that first.
Fake it till you make it. You know, is this something they can fake, help them make parole?
They're clearly grappling with feelings of revenge and hatred.
It helped me a lot. It humbled me a lot.
What's not to understand about compassion, love, and caring?
I got life without parole. I may not never get out of the penitentiary. And this is like a break from everything. This is like freedom.
I am proud of our group. I am so proud to call them my Dharma brothers.
I didn't believe it was going to work, but it worked. It really did.
Those are just some of the voices and men featured in the film Dharma Brothers. It's a film screening at Langara College Monday evening. The role of meditation in prison will be discussed after the film. Anne McNeil will be one of the people taking part in this discussion. She's a Tibetan Buddhist nun who works as a chaplain at several Fraser Valley prisons. Thanks for joining us tonight on Stark Raven.
Hi, good evening.
Hi. Dharma Brothers, the film you'll be discussing on Monday, documents the controversial introduction of a 10-day Vipassana meditation retreat inside a maximum security prison in Alabama. How controversial was it for you to bring Buddhist teachings into the BC prison system 13 years ago?
I didn't notice anything.
Okay. So not too controversial at all then?
No.
How did you end up bringing your teachings and bringing your philosophy of Buddhism into the Fraser Valley prison systems?
Well, in the late 1900s, 1996, I think, there was a sudden increase in Asian inmates, predominantly at that time Vietnamese, kind of boat people, who had not been able to support themselves and had resorted to different ways to do that. They had brought their families with them. And so they were filling up part of the prison system, and they would be deported, and so they were being kept in a minimum prison, federal prison. And it was decided by the other chaplains that they needed a Buddhist chaplain because these people were mostly Buddhist. So someone went looking for someone and found me in a grocery store.
In a grocery store.
It was That's Easter time, and there was long lineups where you stand around, and somebody was, this man was looking at me, and I thought, oh, here he comes, and sure enough, he came over, and he said, are you a Buddhist? I said, yes. He said, are you a Tibetan? I said, well, yes, and meaning that's the lineage I belong to. Obviously, I'm Caucasian. And he said, a monk? And I said, no, a nun. And he says, oh, I'm a monk, too. And he took his black beret off and his scarf, because it was cold, it was Easter, and exposed his clerical collar, and said, I'm a Benedictine monk. And I was surprised and delighted, and said, oh, you have fantastic vows. I'm so impressed by what you do. And he said, listen, would you be interested in going into the prisons to talk to people? And I said, yes, I would be. And he said, well, I'm busy now. It's Easter, and I see you are too. How about later? And I said, yes. And he said, we'll have a cup of tea. And so a couple of days later, we got together, and that's how I got there.
And can you describe some of the work you do with the prisoners?
Well, I don't do anything more than what I do if I'm teaching at a Dharma Buddhist center or to the public in small groups and that sort of thing. I introduce myself and give a little bit of background, because I'm not born in Tibet. I was born in Moose Jaw. I was a ski instructor for a long time, and I became interested in meditation. And in my summer jobs in Greece, I met someone who said, well, Anne, you're never going to meet any teachers, really. They're all in Asia. You have to go to Asia. And I live there, and you can stay with me and look around. And she lived in Kathmandu. She was a teacher for the U.S. State Department. So she invited me and all my friends, so I went. And that was 1970. And she had a Tibetan Lama, two of them, that would come and stay at her place on the weekends, and they were starting to teach her about Buddhism. And that's how I met her teacher, who I was very impressed with. And I stayed 4 years.
And how do you go about teaching meditation inside the prison system?
Well, most people have read a bit about it anyway, and that created a curiosity for them. And so when they come, I suggest that I'll lead them in a series of short guided meditations, and then we'll have a discussion and take it from there. And so I begin, and that's how it works.
And what kind of effect does learning to meditate have on the prisoners that you work with?
It has quite an effect. They learn a lot about themselves that they haven't looked at before. They discover there are antidotes to anger and jealousy and fear and confusion. And actually, Buddhism is not so much a religion, it's a psychology, because it offers practices, you could call it, or I guess practices is what they call it mostly, that helps to alleviate confusion that they have in their minds that keeps bothering them.
And do you find it helps them cope with the situation that they're in a situation where they don't have much freedom or control over what they do every day?
Yes, it does. But it would do that to anybody who is outside of prison as well.
And Christianity tends to be, as you mentioned, it was a Benedictine monk that approached you to work inside the prison. Christianity tends to be the dominant religion inside prisons. Have you noticed any conflict or tension between the prisoners who practice Buddhism or and those who don't?
No, I haven't, but I'm not living in the prison. Those who are interested in whatever religion go to the chapel when the chaplain of that religion is there to greet them. And so the place that they meet with about the religions is in the chapel according to the group that's interested. And so that's where I go. And so I don't live in the living situations, but I do go to several ranges which are more closed down and secured and isolated a little bit. But there's so many guards around, it's okay. And sometimes I go to segregation and talk to whoever's there that wants to talk to me as a chaplain for Buddhism. Sometimes I just speak to them through the food slot, and it's they're just happy to see me, so they're not really expressing some other kind of negativity because I'm there to help them, and they're happy to talk to someone.
What sorts of questions do they have for you?
Oh. They usually want something like incense. They want a nice smell around. They like books to read, to study. They're interested in learning what it's about because it's for the Caucasians, and that's basically who I see now because most of the Asians were deported, and the interest was kept up, so the government kept me out in service. And so I'm able to supply many books for them so they can read a lot. And they're voracious readers. I see about 70 inmates twice a month. And sometimes there's 20 of them. Sometimes there's just a few or one or two, depending on the situations and the different kinds of prisons I go to. And so the books are really valued, and they are donated by the publishers to an organization that I'm associated with, basically in California, for North America anyway, and they send me these books freely, and I give them out in the prisons. And so the inmates can, they read so well and so fast and so often, they can read a book five times in the 2 weeks before I show up again. And so then I answer questions. And then after they start to understand some things, then they want to do practices. But usually in the beginning, I start out with that guided meditation that takes about half an hour, and I just sort of loop around through different visualizations and things like that, and make sort of a circle of practice. And I've made a CD, and I leave that with them. They can have that and play it to themselves. And I do that when I'm out in the public as well.
And the prison system can be very adversarial. What do you think those involved in the criminal justice system can learn from Buddhism to help them better resolve conflicts?
I don't know what the prison system thinks, actually. It's kind of hard for me to understand. But I know there is some differences because after some time, there are inmates who approach the main chaplain who are aware of what's going on all the time with them and their guards, and they request to have a retreat time. In other words, they don't want to go and work if they have a little job. They want to stay in their cell for a week or two. And I've noticed that that's being responded to by some of the prisons and allows that person to have that time. Unfortunately, it's never as quiet as you would like in a prison because they're in ranges of two tiers of cells, which are very noisy. But they're left alone, and they can focus if they want to, and study and do practices which they are given.
Well, thanks so much for telling us a bit about what you do, Anne.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Anne McNeil is a Tibetan Buddhist nun who works with prisoners in the Fraser Valley.